Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the PHNX D-backs podcast right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as your mayor of PHNX. And of course, this show is brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top-rated sportsbook app. This weekend, for signing up and using our code of PHNX, you will get $150 in free bets instantly when placing just a $1 bet on any football game. And that's college or NFL, doesn't matter. That's just $1 on any football game. So please check out that app and use our code PHNX and win yourself some money. Yeah, I think that's a fun thing to do. Thank you guys for joining us. Of course, I am joined by my friend and co-host. It's Thunderstick Jesse Friedman.
Derek, I feel like I'm missing out, man. You're talking about all this money you're winning. You keep telling me all these stories.
Crazy money. I know. And I don't mean to rub it in anyone's face. That's the weird part about it. It's just new to me, you know? Like, and so I feel like I'm doing that, right? Like, I have friends that haven't signed up yet, and they're
missing out. They're
showing no interest. Right. Yeah, they're missing out. But I think I'm annoying them by telling them how much money I've won. And it's one of those situations where you really just want to share the wealth. You really want your friends and buddies to get in on it. Like, this is too good to be true in some cases, and it is. Don't get me wrong. I've lost plenty of bets, right? But at the same time, a lot of those have been situations like our offer with the PHNX code, where you get those $200 in free bets, and it just makes it kind of like a trial offer for you to check it out and not just make one bet, but spread it around a little bit and try out the different options that there are. I've recently become a parlay guy.
Have you?
It sounds fancier than it is.
You're starting to learn the lingo. You're really catching on here.
I you know what I really like is I like how exciting it really has made games that I wouldn't otherwise have interest in at a certain point, right? And that really transitions.
Not Diamondbacks games, though.
I was going to say it really transitions well into the Diamondbacks games because, I mean, don't get me wrong, it is tank season. It's always tank season this season. And until this season wraps up, it will remain tank season. But I will say at times, you know, if a game kind of tends to go, in a direction of a blowout, it's not typically as fun to watch that in any sport. Yet somehow on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, I am watching every second of every game. Espo today was betting on cricket. Things are out of control at our office. We're having a fun time.
Oh my gosh. I just I need you to come up here to Washington and pick it outside the state capitol and try to make it so online sports betting is legal. You think you can do that for me, Derek?
I can give it a shot. I mean, I'll talk to some people, I'll show them some of these bets. I'll show them the 1 point thing from the Arizona Minnesota game. I don't know how that won't convince them.
Yeah,
double my money when they scored 1 point. You need this for your constituents. Get this for your people. I am a mayor, so I understand where you're coming from as far as, you know, gubernatorial,
right.
You know, office.
Yeah,
stuff,
you can relate. You can relate.
I can relate. I get it. There's a lot of red tape. There's a lot of bureaucracy. But at the end of the day, you got to get it done for the people, you know.
Right.
And speaking of the people, this and every Monday is going to be a show about the people, for the people. We already are here at PHNX. We're already fans. Running around as journalists, running around as fans. But every Monday, we are going to be doing a new feature here on the D-backs podcast that we are calling Mailbag Monday. That's right.
In that exact voice.
In that exact voice.
We need that. We need that again next time.
That's like shooting effects. Like, I don't know. Like, as if we're under assault or like stormtroopers are coming in. But it's exciting because we want a chance to connect with our friends on Twitter. We want you guys to send us the information that you want to hear. This podcast, that's what it's about. We don't want to sit here and constantly debate, for instance, the Tori Lavallo future. It's something we've talked about a whole bunch. And I know that at this point, none of us really know the direction it's going to go, but I think we all have a good feeling about the direction it's going to go. Who knows, though? That's up to the organization. And it's also up to Tori Lavallo, you know, if he wants to come back and do this. Yeah. What we want to do, though, is we want to expand the question asking to you guys and get some topics from you, our friends of the show, and, you know, give you the answers, at least from our perspective, right? So we're going to kick things off this Mailbag Monday with three questions that we picked. If you sent us some questions on Twitter, do not fret if we do not get to them. We are going to stockpile them, and we are going to continue to get all of these questions answered tirelessly until we are done, until the end of time, until every question has been answered. We will make sure that we get you every answer that we can. So we're going to kick things off with actually one of my best friends in the whole world, Rock, a.k.a. Rock Knowledge on Twitter. He is one of just a stupendous human being and one of the biggest baseball fans I know. He introduced me to the wonderful Tops, what is it, the Tops 70 series with the anniversary, some limited edition Tops cards that they did that were collaborations with like hip-hop artists and just artists in general with baseball cards and like letting people from different genres make baseball cards. I have a whole stack of Randy Johnson killing pigeon cards that I need to show you, Jesse, after the show. They're incredible. But Rock's my man, huge baseball fan. And his question for this week's Mailbag Monday is, what are the top three priorities for the D-backs going into next season? And man, that's a big question, right? That's a
big question.
I think that's hard to really just zero in on based on the shortcomings of this team at this point, right? I think that there are so many different priorities that they need to address. It's hard to just narrow it down to three. But Jesse, I'll let you go first. What's one of their top priorities you think that they're going to be addressing this offseason?
I only get to pick three altogether, huh?
Yeah, we're gonna keep it three. I know there's a lot, but what do you think? What do you think are like? I mean, based on what they're gonna do next season and the future, what do you think are gonna be the areas that they address immediately?
First thing for me, Derek, is they need to find a center fielder, like not like a guy who might have played center field in high school or like, you know, like maybe 12 years ago, or they need to find someone who like actually plays center field. And this is no disrespect to Ketel Marte, who, you know, has really wore it well in a lot of ways for this team, right? The Diamondbacks have sort of forced him to play center field. He's been pretty vocal that that's not really where he wants to be. And this week, actually, on our website, I have a kind of a deep dive into the Diamondbacks defense coming up. And I'll give you guys a little sneak peek right now and say that Ketel Marte has actually not been particularly good in center field defensively this year. And so at this point, if he doesn't want to play center field, and if the numbers don't really say that he's a great center fielder to begin with, why are we wasting our time, right? So this is going to be hard looking at the center field market for as far as free agents are concerned, Derek. I took a peek last night. It's not pretty. The Diamondbacks are not. It's not going to be very easy for them to find a center fielder. But I think it's something they absolutely have to address. I don't want to see Dalton Varsho there anymore. I don't want to see Pavin Smith there anymore. Those guys are just not center fielders, right? It's just it's abundantly clear that is not where their future is. And I don't think it should be for Ketel Marte either. So for me, Derek, that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
I agree with you 100%. I think it's something we've talked about quite a bit. And I think the bigger thing is like I said, I don't know why, but it always seems like the players kind of are opposed to these changes, yet they're giving the type of answer that a good player would. Like, I'll do whatever the team wants, whatever for Lavallo. You had guys like Eduardo Escobar who would say that they would die for Tori Lavolo. So when you have guys that have that type of attitude for a manager, they're going to do whatever he asks, whether they like it or not, whether it's beneficial to them or not. Right. You know, performance is based on the capabilities of the athlete. You can't be asking athletes to completely change their positions constantly and expect them to also still do well at the plate. You know, right. Defensively, those changes take up, you know, their mind. And like, if you make a mistake in the field, you have to embrace that mistake. And then you have to still go up there and clear your mind and, you know, have an at bat. It's not easy when you don't feel comfortable doing the other half of your job to go up there and be successful at the plate. It's just my feeling, but I know that baseball is one of those games. It's one of those games that players are a creature of habit.
Yeah.
And, you know, they like to hit in the same spot. They like to play the same position and they like to get in their groove so that really they can take their mind off of all of that other stuff when they're at the plate and just hit. So I'm with you 100% on there. This is going to sound ridiculous because it's exactly what they addressed last offseason. But considering that Tyler Clippard hasn't worked out recently as of late and the other two pieces are gone, I think a priority for the D-backs is going to be the bullpen.
Yeah,
I think that they really need to address their bullpen. I think they need to figure out who's going to be part of their starting rotation going forward. I think that they actually have some really good candidates this year that have emerged. I think Noe Ramirez has been outstanding for this team.
Yeah,
you know, he hasn't been perfect, but I've seen a lot of outings where even when he's gotten himself into trouble, he was able to put up a zero on the board at the end of the day and get himself out of the inning. I've seen some other guys emerge, you know, slowly that have become more than relievers, like Humberto Castellanos, who has become somehow one of their most reliable starting pitchers when he'd never even started a baseball game prior to this season. I think that there's a lot of pieces that you know, the team can build around and can hold on to, but the bullpen at this point really needs to be solidified. They can't have these outings, you know, where someone like Bumgarner goes out and gives them what he did, you know, in the Astros series and have the bullpen blow it. Or, you know, the other night when I literally almost had to delete our Twitter account for me posting the stupid ass tweet that is our bullpen becoming reliable. No, it's not, you idiot. Of course it's not. Of course it's not. Why would you even say such a thing? It just started to feel like we were rolling, you know?
There were 2 days, maybe. There were maybe a couple days where it was reliable.
Oh, man. It felt, I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's my fault. I was too ambitious too early. I hadn't seen 2 games from the bullpen put together where they were successful like what was happening at the time. So, you know, forgive me for being drunk on the 2-game success of the bullpen doing its job. But, Jesse, I will leave you, since you had so many, the third priority that you think this team should make as one of their top priorities this offseason.
Well, first of all, I have to say we didn't even talk about this, but my second one was invest in the bullpen. So we are
okay. We are
on the same wavelength right here, Derek.
Absolutely.
My third one, and this may come as a shock to the people who think that I'm in love with the Diamondbacks coaching staff after what I wrote about Tori Lavello. I'm not talking about Tori Lavello, but I am talking about Matt Hergis, the Diamondbacks pitching coach. There has been very little good that has happened with the pitching staff, frankly, since Matt Hergis took over. He took over at the end of 2019. That covers, he's been here last year, which was a mess, and this year, which has been an even bigger mess. And at this point, I don't know how the Diamondbacks bring Matt Hergis back next year. I think it's time, absolutely, that they move on to someone else and give some of these younger arms a new look.
One of my top priorities. So I think our top three priorities were the same for this team. And I'm glad you said Hergis, because again, there's just this ongoing repetition. There's this, and you've pointed out, like, sometimes we're a bit sarcastic about how many players really have left this team to go on to find success elsewhere and how many recent players, right? Like, we don't address the number of players that have been released by this team that never even got picked up by another team on a major league roster. We don't address, you know, so many of the decisions that they made that were right. It just feels at times, like Hurgis really is potentially the problem with this pitching staff. I have said that Dan Heron's analytics at times feels like they could also be a bit too much, or just, you know, information overload. But there is something very telling about a young pitcher like Tyler Gilbert pitching a no-hitter because Hurgis wasn't there that night. And again, I'm not making any accusations, but someone like Mike Fetters seems to have handled the situation and handled it the exact opposite of how historically baseball says you should have handled a no-hitter, right? Mm. He shouldn't have been talking to Gilbert. He shouldn't have been giving him information. He should have been leaving him alone, right? That's the rules of the game. The pitcher with the no-hitter needs to be left alone, not have his mind filled with junk and talking and thinking about other stuff, nor does he, you know, want him thinking about the no-hitter part. Fetters was sitting with him, joking, talking about non-baseball stuff, keeping right. him loose, doing all the things that if you were to think about what you wanted to do for a young player in their debut, you would exactly want, you know, a mentor, putting their arm over your shoulder a little bit and keeping it, you know, light, you know, just keeping you relaxed, keeping you just in the game, but not overthinking or overanalyzing the situation, especially when you're doing so well. Mm. You know, a pitcher like that, that's in the middle of a no-hitter, I can only imagine the anxiety and such that was going through his head. He even addressed after that game that in the ninth inning, he was scary calm. Like, he doesn't even know why he was so calm. I do. I do. It was because of Fetters. That's why he was so calm. Fetters created and fostered an environment around him that night that made him feel confident, but made him feel calm and made him feel like he could be successful. That is the type of pitching coach that I want there coaching every single game and being there for this team. I doubt I'm the only person that noticed that, especially within the organization. Mm-hmm. I just think that, again, they fired their hitting coaches mid-season, and they're hitting, they were middle of the pack in offense at the time. It didn't even make any sense.
Yeah.
It was like you talked about the scapegoat situation with Torey Lovullo. It felt like DC was the scapegoat for this team, a team that was 15th, 16th in offense at the time, and they fire their hitting coaches. Well, you were dead last in ERA, so maybe you should address the pitching first before you worry about, you know, your middle of the road offense.
I just don't know if I can think of anyone. Like, is there a single Diamondbacks pitcher we can name that has improved since Matt Hurgis took over? Is there anyone who has surprised us or has taken step forwards? All I can really think is guys who have taken steps backward, right? Like,
well,
Matt Gallen this year has not been as good. Bumgarner's been sort of a mess since he got here.
Those are all weird examples, because I mean, there's a lot to take in when you think about the way the 2020 season went and the way this year went. Gallen, at the very least, kind of maintained his success, but yeah, he came in already doing that. When Hurgis got, you know, when Hurgis became the pitching coach, Gallen was already, you know, in the groove with his three earned run or less streak that he was on.
Right.
You know, that wasn't his doing. That's not something he, you know, kept going. I don't really know. And I can't answer that. I'll tell you this much. I now am a gambling man, Jesse, and mm-hmm. I wouldn't bet on the information or the data backing his success up in any way when it comes to, you know, making the pitching staff better, you know.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this much. What I will do is I'm going to go on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, and I'm going to lay some more money on some parlays, because I'm a parlay guy now, Jesse. I'm a parlay guy. It's fun. I mean, I know a lot of people don't know what parlays are. I didn't know what a parlay was like 4 weeks ago. So, I mean, I had a good idea, but there's all sorts of fun parlays now for you to get. There's single game parlays. This football season, all customers can swing big with the DraftKings same game parlays. I have won the most money I've ever won gambling on some parlays. I was telling Jesse before the show start. That's why Jesse's all jealous and he wants to come down here to Arizona. But the parlays I hit on both made me a combined about $600, $700 between the two of them. And they both happened because of missed field goals in the Cardinals game. Part of my parlay. So like a parlay is where there's a combined series of factors that you would need to achieve in order to get the payout versus, you know, your standard, just straightforward bet, right? And the DraftKings Sportsbook app has all sorts of bets on there, all sorts of options. You can decide on which player is going to win the or score the first touchdown for the team. You can bet on how many touchdowns Kyler Murray is going to have. You can bet on, like I said the other day, you know, Madison Bumgarner and his strikeouts. I was so mad I didn't bet on that because I told you I knew he wasn't going to get 4.5.
Yeah, he didn't. Strikeouts. He pitched great, but he had three,
and he was great in that game. He was outstanding in that game. He gave up what, one hit and two earned runs in that game, and he still, like, yeah, you know, something crazy like that, and still didn't go over. I'm apparently a genius, especially when I don't bet on this stuff. But the parlays, they have been hitting. And I know, again, there's so many factors involved, so sometimes it feels a little daunting. It's been making football games so much to fun to watch, you know. Same game parlays allow you to combine multiple bets for a bigger payout. This week, a same game parlay on any NFL game will get you credited up to $25 if your bet loses. So again, another fun kind of risk-free way for you to go in and try it out. And if you're not, if you don't win, you know, hey, it's DraftKings $25. But DraftKings, once again, is safe, secure, and reliable. And the best part is you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. It's incredibly easy, and it doesn't take very long for you to get that money into whatever account you're pulling it out into. I've been doing it a lot, and my wife's very happy. She's going to go get her she's going to have a spa day based on some winnings from my draft. Oh yeah, I'm spreading it around. But I got Jesse for a baseball game. We're going to have some fun. But you can download that DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use our code PHNX, and you'll get that $150 in free bets instantly when you just place $1 on any football game. Again, that's our code PHNX. And remember, this is 21 and over only, Arizona only. Sorry, Jesse. Gambling problem? Use the number 1-800-NEXT-STEP. This is for new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And yes, again, I'm not going to try to take on the name Mr. Parlay. We got our betting pod over there. Those guys are definitely the ones that you're going to want to rely on as far as your parlay information is concerned. But
you have enough nicknames already, Derek.
I know. I can't steal other people's nickname. They were calling me the Fashionista. That's a new
one.
It's good. But again, we have some more questions to answer and some more stuff to talk about. You can get this content that we were talking about on gophnx.com. Jesse's article. I have a new article going up on the curse of the D-backs, the curse of Baxter the Fourth. It got way more involved than I expected to, but it's a fun piece, and I hope you guys enjoy it. And after I wrote it, I started to really believe. So check out gophnx.com. You can sign up to become a member. There's a couple of different options. You can get an annual membership, and that will give you access to a free t-shirt from our phnxlocker.com. There
Did you see
is
the new one. Did you see the Cardinals
the
one?
The new one's incredible. The Kyler Murray one. Yeah. Oh, wait, no, it's not Kyler Murray. No, sorry. I don't want to get sued. The new Cardinals one. Yes, there's all sorts of ones. Our top one is the Coyote shirt because it's incredible. And again, if you're an Arizona sports fan, this is where you're going to want to get your merch. We have some great merch coming out. Not only that, but we have such a talented design team. They're constantly putting out new designs all the time. It's incredible how fast they are and how beautiful some of the shirts they're putting out. So check those out over at phnxlocker.com. Again, you also get access to our members-only Discord, where you can get away from the BS on social media and talk sports with us and all of your other PHNX family members. And, you know, again, the other option is to get a month-to-month membership. And if you choose that option, you'll get your first month for just 50 cents. So please, if you love what we're doing over here, we appreciate the support. And, you know, this is a website that is ran by listeners like you. So not to steal PBS's gimmick, but we really are running a podcast and a website for the people, and you know, we need your support. So thank you again so much for subscribing, signing up, checking us out, wherever you're checking us out at. Our next question, Jesse, this is from C-Dub at iLuxord. He asks, who's better all time, Alec Thomas or Mike Trout?
Ugh,
let's get into it.
That's a tough one, Derek. I don't know. Oh, man.
Wow. We're already making those comparisons. Well, let's talk a little bit about what Alec Thomas has been doing lately, because I don't know if everybody is familiar with what is going on in Reno.
Yeah, basically, he just homers every game, I swear. He basically homers every single game. He had a streak of four consecutive games where he hit a home run for Reno. He has now played 26 games for Reno, Derek, and he has seven home runs in those 26 games. So you're talking like a homer every three games about is what he's doing right now. He's hitting .336 with an OPS up above 1,000. He has five stolen bases in those games. This kid is legit, and I know a lot of people right when Luis Frias was called up a couple days ago, a lot of people were like, all right, well, what about Alec Thomas? It's his turn next, right? I don't think we're going to see him until next year, unfortunately, but this kid is doing big things already. And honestly, I can't think, Derek, of a prospect I've been more excited about to see. Like, I mean, we're talking maybe back to Archie Bradley, that Diamondbacks have called up a prospect like, you know, of the caliber of a guy like Alec Thomas. This is super exciting to watch.
Alec Thomas, more like Al Dingers Thomas. Am I right? Heyo. No, I will say he is a very exciting player. And I think you hit the nail on the head before we got on air about the reason why we shouldn't expect to see him this year.
Yeah, he has a service clock issue, as all young players who are about to get called up do, right? This is the way that things work. And so, yeah, most likely I think we'll see Alec Thomas. We'll certainly see him next year, barring injuries or some other disaster. It could be as early as May that we see him in the big leagues next year. So he might not be here yet, Diamondbacks fans, but get ready, because next year should be a lot of fun to watch with this guy making his debut.
I think the future really is bright for this team, no matter how dark the current situation seems at times. It's just really a matter of the Diamondbacks sticking to a plan as far as this youth movement is concerned and not panicking, right? Not getting into a moment where they possibly part ways with a young player like Thomas over, you know, the possibility of bringing in a current big name.
Yeah. Did I mention he's 21 years old?
Oh, you did not mention that, but
crazy.
That's nuts. So yeah, and I mean, like you said, that goes towards the service time situation where the Diamondbacks really want a special player like this to be with the organization as long as possible.
And you don't want to lose a year of control just to have him for, you know, a couple weeks in a loss season. So it makes sense.
Even with the idea and the concept of wanting to get young players major league time now, trying to get them prepared so that by the time next season comes around, they're a little bit more ready, right? They don't have those jitters of making their debut, or that, you know, like what we saw with Luis Frias the other night, you know, just being a little excited, being a little maybe out of control because of that excitement, because of those nerves. And I get it. You know, the sooner that you can get some sort of a playing time experience at a major league level, the better it is for you as a player going forward. It's just the service time definitely needs to wait. And I agree with you 100%. That's probably why it's exciting though. Alec Thomas really is doing things in Reno. It's Reno, so we still got to temper our expectations, right? But he's doing stuff in Reno that, you know, it makes you want him here immediately. You know,
he plays center field too. I should probably add that to our earlier conversation.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, make sure you guys are signing up for that DraftKings Sportsbook app and using our code PHNX. This weekend, that offer, again, is a $1 bet on any football game, and it'll get you $150 in free bets back instantly. So that's the DraftKings Sportsbook app and our code PHNX. Our final question comes from Jim Marshall, an old friend of both of ours. Yes. And wow, I can't believe I just called him. Like, that's... that was a direct assault on him as a person. Our old friend, Jim Marshall, Baseball DayZ, he brought up Luis Frias and wants to know, will we finally have a homegrown closer in Frias?
Mm. Yeah, first of all, shout out to Jim Marshall, who's to your guy earlier, who you know. Jim is one of the best, another one of the best human beings out there.
Absolutely. So
thanks for thanks for tuning in to us, Jim.
Not only tuning in, but thank you for supporting both of our careers as young journalists, because I think we both can say that about him and what an outstanding human being he is. But again, we only have so much time to gush about our question askers. So, and that's nothing against C-Dub. I apologize to C-Dub. We just don't have the same personal connection that we do with Jim and Rock. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Luis Frias has a chance to be that kind of guy. And honestly, I don't think he's the only one. Earlier this season, the Diamondbacks called up J.B. Bukauskas.
Yes.
Who they got in the Zach Greinke trade. Honestly, Derek, back then, a few months ago, I was declaring Bukauskas as the closer, you know, throughout the rest of this season into next season, potentially, you know, the next few years. He has that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, we've all seen what happened with Bukauskas. He's had issues and now injury issues as well. But Frias is the same kind of guy. Power stuff. You even though he was erratic pitching against Houston, you got a glimpse of his stuff, right? Fastball up to 98 with tons of life, power curveball that's one of the nastiest out there. He's got like a split change sort of pitch to go along with it. And I think it's also worth noting with Frias that he's not necessarily a reliever. He was actually pitched in the starting rotation this entire season in the minor league. So I don't think the Diamondbacks have written off his career as a potential starting pitcher yet. But honestly, I mean, you look at his arsenal and it sort of screams like back end closer, you know, he has that kind of stuff. So this is a different approach with the team, like bringing up a guy and putting him directly into the bullpen. That's something the Diamondbacks haven't done with a lot of their top pitching prospects. But Frias could be pretty darn good at it right off the bat. And it's not hard to imagine him as the next Diamondbacks closer who could actually stick there for a pretty long time.
Wasn't Bukauskas also a starting pitcher that they made into a reliever?
He was. Yeah, okay. I think there's always, at least the last few years, people have kind of known that Bukauskas' future was really in the bullpen. Frias is still a little bit earlier in his career, probably. I think that's maybe there's still a lot of scouts who probably would like to see him tried out in the starting rotation, but we'll see how it all turns out.
Well, he did make his debut the other night against the Astros, and he really showed what he could do at times. He was a bit out of control, and I think that goes to those nerves. I think he also got rattled a bit by the strike zone. Not, you know, like some of his pitches landed in what looked like the strike zone, and, you know, he didn't get the call from the ump, so it you could tell he got a little bit out of control after that as well. Just showed some phenomenal stuff though. I mean, he was hitting 97, 98 miles an hour. And just even though he wasn't able to really get it in the strike zone, he was still getting outs. He did load the bases and they were able to get out of it without any run scoring. But I thought he definitely showed a lot of promise. There wasn't, even though he wasn't extraordinarily successful in the outing, I still felt like what I saw out of him was exciting. It was explosive.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing I'll add with him is that like in his outing the other day, don't be fooled by the numbers with Frias. You know, his outing the other day, he had with three walks, which obviously doesn't look good. His minor league numbers don't even look that good either. I don't know if you noticed this, Derek, he has a 4.93 ERA in 23 starts. Like, it's like, all right, well, this guy's a nobody, right? Tyler Gilbert had an ERA of like 3 when they called him up from Reno. So the numbers don't necessarily scream a whole lot of success, but if you dive in closer, he's actually been pretty freaking good. That ERA is very ballooned, probably by a few outings that didn't go very well. If you look at the OPSs against him over the course of his minor league career, the numbers are actually quite good. In Reno, his opponent OPS was 727, which for Reno is good. Yeah. And what stands out there is that most of that 727 is a high on base percentage. He walked a lot of guys, right? Gotcha. Like we've seen. Yeah. But his slugging percentage against in Reno was 354. And that's really impressive because we've talked plenty of times about the hitting environment in Reno. He held guys to a slugging percentage around 350 there. And the same is true if you look at some of the other numbers. In double A, his on-base percentage against was 288. So in Double A, the walks weren't an issue. So looking at the numbers, it is not very black and white with him yet. He's had times where he really did control the baseball well, and it's not like he's out here, you know, giving up tons of homers or anything like that. That 4.93 ERA portrays a much worse pitcher than what Luis Frias actually is.
And if walks are a problem, walks can be reined in, right? And if he's
in the bullpen, yes. Yeah,
if he's given up a lot of runs because of walks and then giving up a hit or two that score all of those runs, it's gonna answer for that high ERA. It's very coachable, though. You know, the stuff that he has seems so good that if he can get that coach and, you know, learn to pitch, you know, basically learn to hit that strike zone and mm-hmm. learn to get that nasty stuff in there for a strike, it's going to make the world of a difference for a guy like that.
Yeah, he's exciting, man. I mean, the Diamondbacks don't have a lot of pitchers who have stuff. I mean, let's face it. I mean,
currently, yeah, but they have a lot of guys in the minor league system that have some pretty good stuff.
Right, right.
You know, and Frias is one of them, but I think that's what makes the future so exciting, and it makes, I don't know, like I've been really excited to see like Tyler Gilbert's starts after his, you know, no hitter, because things haven't been perfect for him. He's had, you know, he's had some rough outings at times, but I still think he's a very good pitcher, and I think he's going to be a big part of this team's future.
I didn't mean to badmouth Tyler Gilbert. That wasn't
how
that wasn't
dare the point you? How dare you? Look, I don't care how you feel about Jesse, but I hope that you'll still subscribe to this podcast after the negative things he said about Tyler Gilbert. And you can subscribe to us on Apple, Spotify, anywhere you get podcasts.
Yeah, despite my presence,
you should still subscribe.
Yes.
Good. Please still subscribe to us. And, you know, if you're hearing us on one of those apps right now, please, you know, just remind you that we're doing a lot of fun things on YouTube. So subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you're a fan of Arizona sports, you're going to get a whole lot more than just the D-backs podcast. And you could subscribe on our YouTube channel, which is at PHNX Sports. You can also subscribe to us on Twitter, if you want to call it that. It's called following, but whatever. You can get us on Twitter. I'm at @Cap_Caveman with a K. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. But, of course, all roads lead to at @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you guys so much for your questions. We promise that we will continue doing the Mailbag Monday every Monday, and we look forward to getting more questions from everybody out there. Hopefully you like the answers you get, you know. It's 2021, so if you don't, that just means you can make up your own. But, you know, hopefully you guys are digging what we're putting out there. We thank you again so much for checking us out. And remember, kids, baseball's fun, but it's more fun when you bet on it.